Nothing should come closer than who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. But we get caught up. This last week, I got caught up in doing and not being. But we're called to be before we do for God, before we go off to work, before we go off to our kids and our families. We're called to draw close to God. And that's our prayer in these songs, is for us to draw closer back to the heart of God, what He wants for us, to be with Him before we go out into the world. And that's our prayer for us as we raise a hallelujah for God to come into our lives and change us. Father God, help us to be with You, to center ourselves every single day on You, to draw closer to You, to call on Your Spirit in our lives to change and form us, to live for You so we can go out into the world and to raise our hallelujahs, to praise Him. And Lord, we just ask these things in Your life, in Your Son's most holy name. And God's children said, amen, amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. I'm Pastor Bill McKinley, one of the pastors here, and I want to welcome you to worship this morning. It's a wonderful fall morning. I realized this morning when I was getting up, I had actually put on a long sleeve shirt instead of my regular Hawaiian clothing. So the seasons have finally changed. And we're so glad you guys are here with us in worship. And we're so glad that you guys are joining us online. Whether you're watching us now or later in the week, we're so glad you are here. It's a wonderful day to worship. And we want to encourage you, whether you're new or whether you're visiting us, to fill out an information card. And if you're online, there should be one popping up. And this also has prayer requests, too. And then in front of us, in backs of the seats here, there's a QR code. If you scan that, it'll take you to an information card or it'll take you to a prayer request. We're so glad you're here. And if you would like more information, you could always visit the information booth. That is going to be right out here. You can talk to someone. You get a great gift bag. Well, last Saturday, we participated, along with Good Shepherd Church, at a We Serve event. We Serve is where churches from across the city gather to serve in our communities. And last Saturday, we had 35 people up at Southwest Middle School, which is one of our local middle schools, and we transformed the outside of the school, pulling weeds and shrubs and bushes and grass, and we were able to provide mulch and pine straw to beautify the school, and it was great. There's 35 people, all the way from a one-year-old all the way up to us more mature ones, and I hear the laughter out there. I don't know whether the laughter means I'm mature or not mature, but we were all out there, and it was a great day, including the principal from Southwest Middle School and a couple of the teachers. But that is also part of where your giving goes to. As we enter a time of giving right now, the giving that you do, the tithes and offerings, help us provide the services for where we could go and help those middle schools and those other areas in our community. So I want to encourage you to give so we could go out and help in our community and our areas. And if you'd like to be able to give, on the screen should be our text to give, CTK Charlotte, to 77977. You can always go to the website, ctkcharlotte.org, to give, and you can always put a check in the basket as you exit too. But also, what's coming up, I'm really excited about this. October 30th is our annual trunk or treat. Our children's ministry does an amazing job out there for our trunk or treat. And, you know, we have 20 to 30 trunks out there where people give out candy and they dress up and they get their trunks all dressed up. And the neighborhoods bring their little ones. We have hay rides and we have food oftentimes. It's a great family atmosphere to come out and just have a great time. But how you could participate, besides bringing your kids, and if you're an adult and want to dress in a costume and go around and grab candy, no one's going to stop you. So we'd encourage you to come out. But if you want to do a trunk, we would love for you to do a trunk, to decorate a trunk. Maybe you and your small group, your family, a life group, children's ministry, youth ministry, whatever. Go to ctkcharlotte.org. Slash events, and you can sign up for a trunk, and it's a great way. It's going to be a beautiful weekend, and we're so glad that's here. But we're going to continue now with our last sermon in our Neighborliness series, and Pastor Jason Bolden, who is our worship pastor, is going to come up and give an amazing sermon for that. So as he's going to come up, let's pray for him, and we'll watch the roll-in.
Good morning. All right. A couple things I have to let everybody know. Stay awake, because this is not going to be a very long sermon. Amen? Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. We are in our last and final week of our neighborliness series. How many people are enjoying the series? If that's you, raise your hand. Is God doing some things in that series? And our prayer as a church is that we would be a church that would stand up for change and be a church that is the light in the darkness. We pray that during this series that your eyes are open on how to love those who may not look like you. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would just move in this place, Lord God. Hide me behind your cross, Lord God. Use me, Father God, this morning. Just open our hearts and minds. Open our ears to hear from what the Spirit would say. In the mighty precious name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So as I was prepping this message, I wrestled with it because I was wondering, Lord, what direction should I go? So if you're writing down notes today, the topic is called Breaking Down Walls. There are so many walls that the church is dealing with in the last couple of years that have really just boggles my mind how we've allowed certain things to get inside of the church. The church is supposed to be the light of the earth, light in darkness, the salt of the earth. But the last couple of years, we've allowed certain things to erect itself. A few things like pride, strife, racism, division, to blind us from the mission of reaching the lost and representing the kingdom of heaven, where all are welcome because Jesus went to the cross for all. And my main scripture here in Ephesians 2, if you have a Bible, if you can turn to it, the Apostle Paul reads in Ephesians 2, starting at the 14th verse, it says, "For Christ himself is our peace. He made both one and broke down the dividing wall of separation, the hostility, having made the law of the commandments and decrees null and void in flesh. He did this to form the two in himself into one new humanity." So making peace. And in verse 16 it says, "And to reconcile both in one body to God through the cross, having killed the hostility by it." So basically in this text, Paul is specifically talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. We know that the Jews were a holy nation called unto God, and the Gentiles were the outsiders. But God said once he died on the cross and when the veil was ripped in half, all were welcome, all were to come to him, and he was creating us all as one. So how does that come today? How do we make that into today's terms? Well, as the church, we have to know that us being believers in Christ, we're all blood-bought. We're all believers in Jesus Christ in this room, right? Amen? We are? So we're all one. We are all one big, happy family. And, you know, family sometimes does not always get along. Amen? But at the end of the day, we're family, and we need to stick together. God has created us to have close relationship with him and one another. Jesus says that the greatest commandment is that you love God with all your heart and all your being. Does anybody know what the second greatest commandment is? This is the one we have the issue with. It's to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And that's the basis of this neighborliness series, is for us to learn how to love other people that might not look like us, come from the same background as us. And then verse 14, if we can go to Ephesians 14, 2, verse 14, Paul says, for he himself is our peace. Paul is saying to the Jews and the Gentiles, for there to be peace amongst us, we must look to Jesus. That's the number one thing that we as a church in this nation need to understand. For us to be unified, we must always look to Jesus Christ as our source for wisdom and how to deal with the day's things that we deal with. It says that, one, he is the creator of peace. Jesus, number two, he is our peace. And true peace can only be found in Christ Jesus. If you read, go to your Bibles in Isaiah 9:6, it tells us that the attributes and the name of Jesus is he is the Prince of Peace. So it's going to take the church to be basically the peace for this nation. It's so scary how we've allowed certain situations in our church, and I'll just bring up a few, like political differences. The Democrats in the church don't want to talk to the Republicans in the church, and the Republicans in the church don't want to agree with the Democrats. But at the end of the day, those things will all fade away, and Christ is going to stand. And those are the needs that we need to base ourselves on. We argue about the little, small, mundane things. And as we argue amongst ourselves and fight with each other, the enemy is coming after our children. The enemy is terrorizing our society, and the world is looking for answers, and we, the church, have the answers. But the question I would say is, if I was an unbeliever and the church looks no different than the world, why would I come to it? These are questions that we have to ask ourselves as the Church of Jesus Christ, because we haven't been the representation of what Jesus looks like or what the church was called for or built for. Amen? But more recently, the church has not been an example of peace. We've allowed these walls of division, racism, injustice, pride, strife run rampant in the church. And how are we going to be the light of Christ if there is so much division amongst us? Romans 12:18 reads, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Matthew 26, chapter 12, the 26th verse, the Pharisees go to Jesus and says, he casts out demons in Beelzebub's name. And then Jesus says to them, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself and is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself can't stand. Another quote that I read was, no organized society can stand, whether kingdom, city, or household, when turned against itself. I didn't mention this in the first service, but I was reminded of a story that I heard from a pastor who was on a plane, and he was sitting next to, I don't know what they called himself, from a Satanist church, one of their leaders. And the person from the Satan church said to him, he looked at him, he said, you know, we pray that there is division and chaos in the church on a daily basis. And that pastor told me what he said in the conference, he was like, he got so scared. Fear came over him because he was like, we worry about so many other things, but Satan's kingdom is not divided. It has an agenda, and it goes for it. And that's what the church needs. The church needs to be on its agenda, but we've been so busy fighting amongst ourselves that we can't be the true representation because we're divided. We don't know how to have issues and still love our neighbor or love our brother and still have relationship, even though we may not agree on certain things. We have to understand that if we are going to be the light of the earth, we have to be unified. We have to lock arms together and say, you know what? You are my brother. You are my sister in Christ. I don't care what race you are, what you look like, your financial status. We are in this together, And we will fight this adversary that is trying to come against us. Amen? So I have a question this morning. How do we break down these walls? How does the church break down all these walls that are standing in front of us at this point in time? The walls that we've allowed in the church to break. How do we break these down? Well, as I was praying, the Lord brought me to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Could you turn to that in your Bibles if you have it? I'll give you a few seconds to just turn to it, because I want us all to read it, and it's going to be on the screen as well. 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." My first point this morning on how we can break down these walls in the church, the number one point is humble ourselves. As a church, we've become prideful, we've become arrogant. We've allowed things in the culture of the world to infiltrate the church, and I believe that it breaks the heart of God. And we need to turn back to where He is the focus. It's not about how great a preacher preaches or how great the worship team sounds or how the lights look. It's always to be about Jesus. First, we must get out all pride. Pride will destroy us. Pride will make us not even try to look at things through the eyes of another person. We will never be able to see different perspectives of our neighbor if we are full of pride. Once again, the church needs to get back to where Jesus is at the center of everything. My second point is that we need to pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways. Church, coming here on a Sunday is great. We need to be in community with each other, but not only just to worship and to listen to a word, but we also need to get back to where we pray with each other. Amen. Prayer is missing in this country. And to be honest with you, the only way we're going to see change in our nations, in our communities, in our churches, where we're going to see the power of Jesus Christ, is a praying church. It's a church that locks arms and says, we will not leave the altar until we see God move. We have to have a hunger for prayer again. And then the second part of that, it says, turn from our wicked ways. The turning is repenting. We have to repent for the things that we've allowed to come in to the church and say, Lord, forgive us for not being your instrument or being your representation. Forgive us, Lord, for making it about us and how we feel and not being the light that you want us to be, not being the salt of the earth, not being the people of God that you called us for. You died on the cross so you can bring everyone into your kingdom. But we've been so focused on other things, church, so we need to say, Lord, forgive us. We repent. We turn from these things. And this is the great part about that. After you repent and after we humble ourselves, then it says, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Look at that part where it says, then I will hear. The Lord said, then I will hear. But before He can hear us, there are some things that we have to do to make sure there's nothing keeping us, blocking for our prayers to be answered. So that's why we have to humble ourselves. That's why we have to pray and seek His face. And that's why we have to turn from the things, the wicked things that we have inside us. We all have them. From the top down, we all have issues that we have to deal with and ask the Lord to, Lord, please fix these areas in my life so I can be the true representation that you want me to be. And then my last point is this: look to Jesus. We have to look to Jesus. He is the perfect example of breaking down walls. He loved us all, but He knew no one could keep the law. So He came and He died on the cross so we can have access to Him. Jesus wants everyone to know Him and have a relationship with Him. And I know it breaks His heart to see His bride arguing and bickering with each other. How many people have kids in here? Parents, I don't know about you, but I hate it when my kids argue with each other. And I know it's going to happen because they're siblings. But I always want to teach them and let them know that at the end of the day, we're family and we need each other. And at the end of the day, as a church, we need each other as a body. We strengthen each other. That's why it's so important that we must always keep the community in the church, and we must also come to church, because it's a strength when I'm in the house of the Lord. It's great. Now we have technology to watch it, but there's nothing like being in with the people. Amen? So worship team, you can start making your way towards here. So as we close, I just asked the Lord this morning that he would touch our hearts to change the way we've been. We don't want to be a church that's just has a great preaching and great singing and that's it. No, we want to be a church of change. We want to be a church where the lost can come and find refuge, where they can find the examples of Jesus, where they can find the peace. We are the solution for everything that's going on in the earth. There is no politician, there is no lawmaker that can do anything that can change anything. I am telling you right now, it's going to take the Church of Jesus Christ to be a praying church so we can see change in the earth. Is that your heart this morning? Do you want to see change in your society? Do you want to see changes in your neighborhoods? It starts with us. 1 Peter 4:17 says, judgment starts in the house of the Lord. So basically, the church gets judged first. So we as a church have to make sure that we are right, that we are the example, that together we are locking arms, praying, worshiping, and calling down and tearing down those strongholds that are trying to bind this world. But it's going to take the church. It's going to take all of us together to do that. My last scripture is Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Do you want to be called the children of God, church? We have to be the peacemakers in the earth. We don't want to ignite or put more to the flames of a society that's lost. We want to be the peace and the love that they need. We want them, when they walk through this door, to feel the joy and the peace and the love of the Lord. That is our heart this morning, God. And we just ask that as we begin, you could bow your heads as we pray, that we would be the example. God, we, as a church, we repent. We repent for the things that we've allowed to come into your house, Lord. Lord, we turn from every wicked thing, Lord. We pray that we would be an example, that we would be your church, Lord God. A church on the forefront that is for community, that's for everyone, for a church that just loves on people, a church that witnesses, a church that goes to the community and tells people about Jesus. Lord, forgive us for arguing and bickering with each other, Lord God. We just ask for peace, Lord God. We also pray, Lord God, this morning that this message, Lord God, would touch our own hearts, Lord God, in the areas, Lord God, that we know that we need to change, Lord God. I know, Lord, as I was preparing for this message, you showed me the areas where I was at fault, Lord God, and I repent for those things, God. And I ask, Lord God, that you would use me as an advocate for change, Lord God, in this nation, Lord God. Holy Spirit, would you just breathe on this church, Lord God? We want to see your glory once again in all the earth. Flood the earth, God. Flood this nation, God. We can't do this without you, God. Give us a strategy, Lord God. Give us the wisdom, Lord God, as we move into this new age of church, Lord God. Help us to bring more community, Lord God, with one another, Lord God. Holy Spirit, have your way, Lord God. Help us to go back on our knees, Lord God, and pray, Lord God, for this nation, for our leaders, Lord God. Would you do it again, God? Pour out your spirit once again, God. We can't do it without you, Lord God. We need you. We humble ourselves under your authority, God, and say, have your way in this church, Lord God. Forgive us, Lord God. We want more of you, God. And help us to be the light in darkness, Lord God, and the salt of the earth once again. And let your kingdom come and your will be done, Lord God, on earth as it is in heaven. In the mighty, precious name of Jesus.
Give Jason a little bit of encouragement, isn't it? What an awesome, awesome message. Thank you, Pastor Jason. As he's come on new to our team in Bassett Spring, I told him, Jason, we're going to get you on the stage to preach. And what a beautiful heart as you studied into the Word and you brought that. We love you guys, and thank you for standing here with us in the midst of the gap. You know, one of the things that really stood out for me in that message when you went into the passage, if we will just humble ourselves and we repent, and it showed that Jesus does all the work. He said, I will hear from heaven, and I will heal the land. You know, the only barrier is the barrier of us. God's ready to do the work. It's kind of like going to the doctor. The doctor does all the work of setting the stage of healing, but doesn't do anything to heal. And when we repent, and we pray, and we become humble, and we let go of pride, healing begins to happen because the barriers are gone. And, you know, sometimes I don't know what to repent of. Sometimes I don't know where I'm evil, but when I'm humble myself, when I get on my knees, God reveals to my own heart the things that are barriers and the things that he wants to change. That's something I can take home, and it's powerful. Thank you for that gift and that presence. Today I want to introduce some folks to you, the nominating team. The nominating team for Christ the King Church is a team of elders. These aren't necessarily, as Jason spoke about, older. They are seasoned in their love for the Lord, and they've been in the life of this church. They're in the midst of community groups. They live for the Lord. They trust the Lord with their heart and soul. So each year we discern who we would like to have really praying over leadership in our church, particularly our congregational council leadership. And we call them the nominating team. And their journey is to receive names from you, to discern people in the congregation who are elders who God is calling up to help lead this church at its highest levels. Every year we have people that rotate off our five-year rotation in congregational council. This year, Ellen Hefner rotates off. She's been an incredible leader over the last couple years. So they'll be seeking one person to come on this congregational council team and to lead us over the next 5 years. I'd like to ask them to come forward as I call their names. Matthew Wilson, if you'd come forward. In fact, I just got a text from Matthew a minute ago. He says, I'm almost here. He has a sick child this morning, so hopefully he'll walk in here in a moment. Aaron Thompson, come on up, Aaron. I think you've been in this congregation since a baby. Roberto Flores, come on up, Roberto. Served in this congregation in many capacities. You'll see him in the heart of ministry, as in hospitality particularly. Aaron is working a lot with student ministries and helping in that area right now. Jane Ann Simon, come on up, Jane Ann. Jane Ann works a lot with women's ministry and in serving and working along those who are new to Christ, and also with our ministries with community groups. Matthew Wilson, I mentioned earlier, serves in the band, works a lot with that, also with student ministries, and also in serving with others. So if Matt walks in a moment, we'll welcome him up. But these guys are going to be serving with us in a nominating team. And this is what I would ask you to do. Number one, pray for them. Pray for them. We're asking this team to discern leadership. And we need you to be praying for them and also be praying over who the conversations might be that they're talking with. Secondly, share with them people that you believe God is calling in leadership. You know, that works too. It works both ways. So how can you do that? One is, there are some nomination forms in the foyer at the information table. They're clearly marked. You can pick up one of those forms, and you can think and pray about people that you'd want to fill out. It has some, like a reference sheet, and you can share them back to the congregation. Just bring them back to the office, drop them off at the information desk, or you can send an email to info@christthekingcharlotte.org, ctkcharlotte.org, and you can share names. This team will be responsible for discerning, praying over those names, interviewing these people, having conversations, and over the next month, they'll be appointing a new person that'll serve for 5 years on our congregational council. Wonderful? Well, I'd ask if you would to hold your hands out. Let's pray over these people. Join me in prayer as we lift them up. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for what you are doing and the way that you're moving. I pray your bounty and your blessing over Erin. I ask, Father, that you would give her a discerning heart as she seeks to interview and share what she knows about eldership and seeking discernment there. I also pray for Roberto, Father, that you would bless and keep him during this time, that you give him a heart of wisdom and discernment as he seeks to interview and have conversation with people you're raising up in leadership. For Jane Ann, Father, for her discerning spirit, that you would open her heart to see what you want her to see, and that she would, along with this team, be able to see the discerned gifts that you're bringing forward in leadership. And Lord Jesus, I pray over Matthew, who couldn't be here this morning, that you would bless and keep him as he guards his family, but also seeks to love his church and to help discern, as he did in the call process for Jason, who you're calling to lead in this congregation right now. So, Father, as we send them up with our blessing and prayer, may your spirit move among this church. And as we move into this era where we reach out in this community in new ways, we live as neighbors to our community and internationally in our missions, that you're calling up people, Father, with the greatest gifts of wisdom and discernment for our leadership. For all these, we lift before you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you for serving. I look forward to being with you. God's grace. Continue with our worship today.
Let's stand together. Just know that we are his chosen. You are his child. Be knowing in that.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost when he brought me. Free and deep.
give you rest. That is our God that has chosen us, that leads the way, that holds our hearts in his hands. Let's just continue to worship him, knowing that he has chosen each and every one of us. He loves each and every one of us. Sing those words with us today. I am chosen, not forsaken. Love your neighbor. We love you. Have a wonderful week.